we'll get this thing going. And we'll talk 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever's good for you, and then we'll, like I said, I'll edit it. So, hey, guys, welcome to another episode. Thanks for jumping on board with us. Prosper with Wayne in here, howtosellyourcoaching.com. And when it comes to selling, whether you're selling coaching, you're selling real estate, you're selling insurance, you're selling books, it's all about the presentation. It's all about meeting people's needs, getting their emotional attachment. And so I got my friend here, John, with me, JM Consultant. Glad to have you on board from the UK. So a little bit across, you know, a little over the water a little bit. But thanks for jumping on board with us on our podcast today. And look forward to sharing. And we have some common interests: sales, martial arts, helping people, making money. They all come together, right?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, Wayne. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And man, I want to jump right in and talk about something I don't talk about a lot and I love and I miss, and that is martial arts. How do you take martial arts and move it into, I can see how you do it, but yeah, moving martial arts into the business, the methodologies, the thought processes. But do you mind sharing, because I have some people on here that I know are martial artists now. And so do you mind sharing your background in that and how you translate that over into coaching and marketing and publishing and so forth?
Yeah, not at all, Wayne. I started off, I was quite fortunate to start off with sales and martial arts mixed together. I was training to be a karate instructor, and part of the training, the training was provided for free, but what I had to do was go and knock the doors, knock in the streets, cold calling people, signing people up for the karate classes. So that's how that worked.
Awesome.
So that was my sort of introduction to the sales world, was getting out there and knocking on the doors.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll tell you what, door knocking, people come to me in sales training, they're like, I've never done door knocking. I'm like, go do it, just so you can respect how easy you have it with the internet, how easy you have it with a cold call. Go knock on a door, go knock on 1,000 doors, and then tell me you're ready to learn something else, because that is real business. That is knocking on doors. Yeah, everybody's got cameras on their house. It is different. Knock on a door. It changes you. It'll change your perspective of selling all day long, you know. So,
well, I think it definitely toughens you up. I mean, you have to be quite resilient in the world of sales. You can't be sort of namby-pamby or frightened of a bit of rejection, because you're going to get lots of it. So,
that's great. Go get the rejection first. Get it out of the way, you know. I knocked on doors a little different, John. I knocked on doors because I was selling insurance, but it was, do I want to pay my rent? Do I want to keep the car I'm driving? Do I want to put food in my belly? Then I needed to knock on 10 doors every hour. And I knew I had to knock on 80 doors a day. And I knock, and I'd go to the next door and knock, and I had to keep my conversation short. I had to get in. I was going from a door knock to in to selling insurance and walking out with a check. That was tough, but it was a process that taught me, you know. And then martial arts taught me also, you got to learn how to take a hit. I always looked at Karate Kid. I wanted to be Karate Kid, you know, watch some Bruce Lee, you know. And then the first time I got the breath knocked out, I mean, my lip was busted. I'm like, They didn't sell me on this.
I didn't think I was going to get hurt. What's this? What's pain?
Why did he hit me? So, but that resilience, you're right. The resilience carries over, not just in sales, but in life, man. Life.
Absolutely.
So are you still active in martial arts?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's tailed off a little bit recently because I've been so busy just with the business. You know how it is. But I'm still active. I actually fought last year in a style called Lethwei, which is, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's similar to Muay Thai boxing, yeah. But you don't wear gloves. You just have hand wraps, and you can headbutt as well. So it's quite brutal, really.
Yeah. When one of my first styles, I started with just like an American-based Shotokan, and then the next style jumped immediately into was a Jeet Kune Do, and I showed up with a gi on. I showed up for first class, and my instructor said, "What is this?" And I was a little kid, you know, a little punk. I said, "Well, he don't even know what a gi is. What kind of teacher is he?" I said, "This is a karate gi." And he said, "But go home and put on what you normally wear, and then come back." because this is street defense. So I went home, put on blue jeans and a t-shirt, and I was like, this is weird, you know? And yeah, he wanted to bust him a lip and knock the breath out of him. And I'm like, well, okay, this is real stuff. And it was, yeah, we wore pads. You know, we had groin pads, but that was about it. And it was an eye opener. What real, you know, you have to learn to take that hit if you're going to go out there and survive in that world or in any world.
Well, exactly. I mean, could you imagine going out in the street in your karate gi and your belt on and all that? Someone would, all they'd have to do is stamp on your feet, wouldn't they? Because you're barefoot. So.
Break it.
You're lost straight away, haven't you?
Yeah, right off the bat. That's exactly right. After they laugh at you for having your karate gi on. But
exactly, yeah.
I always tell people, if martial arts need to be applicable in self-defense, just like your techniques need to be applicable, you know, my first instructor and my second instructor, but in Jeet Kune Do, had me walk up and down stairs. I said, is this some kind of Karate Kid wax on, wax off lesson? And he said, yes, just keep walking. And he was teaching me a front kick. It's just a simple motion of walking up a step. And I thought, yeah, I get it. But everything had a philosophy behind it. And then when I thought I'd learned something, John, then he came up and showed me a whole new different technique behind it. The same way I believe in sales and marketing. When we think we know how to handle a situation, there's another whole situation that comes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be aware of.
Well, again, like you say, I think that's another similarity with martial arts and sales, because sales is an art in itself. It's like a martial art. Sales is an art. So you're always having different angles, different ways of doing things, different objections, different styles, different techniques.
Yes.
They cross over quite nicely.
Yeah, yeah. And so tell me, if you don't mind a little bit, for people maybe that are watching this going, I've never done martial arts. What can you teach me about sales? What can you teach me? What is your biggest, you know, your biggest belief, if I could, your biggest belief, your biggest paradigm shift, I guess, when it comes to sales? What do you teach? What do you believe about sales marketing?
Right. Well, I think, like you say, if you've had no martial arts background, which a lot of people haven't, but you're still passionate about getting into the world of sales, I think that the biggest hurdle is, like we sort of touched on it, is getting beyond that rejection and getting used to hearing that many no's, because you're going to hear lots of them. The no's way outnumber the yeses, don't they? You're probably looking at 8 to 9 no's to every yes. But yeah. The way I look at it is, I'm not used to hearing no's now. I just consider them small yeses. So you've just got lots of different small little yeses. That's your no's. Yeah. It's just how you look psychologically, how you look at things, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You know, there's a great, and I'm sure you've seen the book, Go For No, a great book I read many years ago. I remember taking that book, and the whole premise behind it was really just going until you heard a no. Somebody got a sale, they're excited. I'm like, great. When did they tell you no? It's not just getting a no and the door knock. No, I don't need your insurance. But one said, yes, I need it. Great. And I signed a policy. Most people smile and run. I was like, wait, you have children. You have a policy on your children. You have grandchildren. Hey, do you need home insurance? You know, so it was like, keep moving forward until somebody says, hey, I don't need anything else. A great lesson. Sometimes you got to learn how to take it to that next level. And I think another important point you mentioned there is looking at it as an art. If you look at it as artwork, art is never complete. I've never seen a masterpiece that, you know, an artist has to step away from a masterpiece because they'll keep on working. Sometimes you've got to learn to step away and accept the sale, but you always go back and try to perfect it. Martial artists, I don't care, the best in the world, they want to be better.
Yeah.
They want to be better. And hey, I'm almost 50. I can't do the kicks I used to do. I got out of shape. But so I started doing more Aikido. I actually hurt my arm and couldn't do some of the punches. So I started doing more Aikido and Aikijutsu. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is cool. And so it made me look at it as an art also. I'm learning a different way of getting to the same, you know, the same outcome, which is not getting hurt.
It's funny you should say that, because when I steered away from karate, I also did it, took a similar route, but more of the Chinese sort of Tai Chi sort of angle, but it's very similar. Tai Chi and Aikido are very, very similar arts.
Yeah. I wanted to do Tai Chi, but I couldn't find a good instructor in the area. And But I've always had a lot of respect for that. Let's talk about sales. Let's talk about what you're doing, how you're helping people, how people can get in touch with you. What's your biggest – I know you talked about being art, and you talk about you've got a free gift, I know, for people, six samurai closes. I love that. Six killer samurai closes. Let's talk about closing sales for a minute, if you would. Well, why did you come up with that? What is your philosophy on closing sales?
Well, I mean, I think because a lot of people, they avoid that part of it. They're really, because people don't like to ask people for money. It's as simple as that. People like to, a lot of salespeople like the rapport building. They like the follow-up. They like the prospecting. They like the sales process. They like the presentations. They like the demonstrations, but they don't want to ask for people for money at the end of it. And that is what probably the most important part of their sales process is. True. If you can't close anybody. I mean, I don't particularly like the word close. I think it's a bit...
I agree with that.
I think you're getting a victory over somebody. If you've closed them, that's like you're winning, but you're not. You're trying to get them happily involved in something that's beneficial for them. So it's a mutual thing. It's more of a deal, isn't it, than an actual close. I don't really like the word close. Or high ticket closing. I noticed you was talking about that the other day, and you were hitting on some really good points about high ticket. People put this sort of like they big it up, this high ticket. Oh, I've got this high ticket package. It should be more high value. I've got a high value. I've got a high service. I've got a really high value service to offer, not a high ticket product or a high ticket offer. I just think certain ways, the way you word something, your words are so powerful. So I think that's really, yeah, closing, even though it is part of what we, and it is the term we use, I think it could be worded slightly better in certain situations.
I agree, man. And as I said on the podcast you were talking about, if we, you're right, if we close, it literally means to close a transaction out, get to the next step. But, you know, the high ticket, and I know some of you watching this are going to be high ticket closers, and it's going to upset you. I teach high ticket. I sell high ticket. But I don't like the terminology behind it. I don't like the attitude I've seen come with it. I'll put it that way. And what I have found is I've talked to some people that I'm a high ticket closer. Great. How do you start the presentation? How do you build rapport? How do you work with people that are not ready to do business now? And if it's just about closing, you only got part of the pie. Now, you got to have that part. You're exactly right. Because most people, as you said, they love everything but the closing. But yeah. If you've got to have that ability to ask for money, but you also got to have the ability to make them build the value in their mind they want it. If I said, here's some cool little Apple EarPods, and these are what, $200? $170? But if I said, wait a minute, if I could sell these for $1,700, that's high ticket. But I'm still giving you the same AirPods, then I'm just ripping you off. I'm not giving you value. So you've got to have – too many people have taken a – here we go. I love this book, Copywriting Secrets, Jim Edwards. And Jim, here's you a shout out. But somebody can take a $10 book, $15 book, and go, wow, I really want to make a course out of this. Same information is $1,000. Wow, I want to do high ticket coaching. Same information now is $10,000. If you're truly helping them, then this is probably worth $10,000. If you're just giving them the same info in a book, sell them a book. Bring value. Yeah. So.
If your high ticket program is valued at 30K, but they get 200K worth of value out of it from the techniques, yes, that's value, isn't it?
That's value, massive value. Yeah, the ROI.
Absolutely.
I told somebody the other day, when somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I want to hire you as a coach," somebody says, "I'm going to charge you this much." You've got to bring a case study. You've got to bring a testimonial. You've got to have somebody you've helped. Or you got to bring a profit and loss statement. show me what you've made. Show me what your people are making. And that's when it goes back to true value. But I love that. I love the name of your giveaway there. And that's something I tell a lot of people. So if you're a coach watching this, I could say, hey, I'll teach you how to close sales. Or I'm going to give you six samurai closes. I mean, it's a name, but names have power, man. If you go to a good restaurant, you don't order chocolate cake. You order black velvet, black mountain chocolate cake. It's freaking cake either way. Yeah. But they name it something that sounds, God, black velvet? That sounds like a good piece of cake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I can give you a little idea. One of the clauses is literally just to ask for the deal. That's a clause, but people just don't think about doing that. If you've done a really good presentation, you've warmed to your prospects and they're really ready to buy and everything, just ask them.
Just ask them.
Don't make too big a deal of it. That's one of the clauses. That's one of the killer clauses. Simple, but it's so effective.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like the old saying, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, John, and this is really interesting too. You may have run into this. People say salespeople are the easiest to sell, and I am. I sell, I buy. I'm a buyer.
He's true.
Don't give me a good offer, I'll pull out the credit card. But I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about Grant Cardone, and they kept going back to Grant, And so when it came to time for me to ask for the close, and this is a $15,000 coaching package, I said, okay, I need you to do something. I need you to go get Grant's book. Because they were talking about he had a book on closing, Closer's Bible or I got it on Audible. It's worth getting. And I said, go get Grant's book. They said, okay. I said, get the book, come back to the phone. You have it in your office? Yeah, I got it right here. Get it, come back to the phone. They come back. I said, this is where I ask you for $15,000. So I want you to think of an excuse. And I want you to open the book that is valid, any page, and I'll read that back to you. And they laughed. They thought it was funny. And then they gave me a real objection. They said, well, really, I do need to talk with somebody. I said, great. And I gave them Grant's rebuttal. Boom, 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 word for word. And they laughed. And I said, listen, Grant's book's about 300, 400 pages. Oh, we're going to be here all day. And they laughed about it. And they said, okay. I said, great. Here's our next step. And I think that is one of the greatest closes for me. Here's our next step. And I just kind of led them. And so they bought the package. But, you know, salespeople, they are waiting to buy if they're like most. But I think you're right, John. Ask for it. You know, one of my favorite closes is, okay, here's where we go next. Yeah. Bam. And, you know, whatever. And then if there's an objection, whoa, but I've done that so many times. They go, okay. What clarify this, Wayne. And they just want a little clarity on something. But the close was, here's where we go next. And, of course, it's going to end with a credit card or, you know, a purchase statement or something like that. So,
well, like you said, I mean, objections a lot of time, it's just a barrier, isn't it? They're just trying to protect themselves. But you can keep knocking them down. A lot of the time you'll get five or six objections and then eventually they crumble because they know it's good for them. They've got this protective barrier up, haven't they? But once you keep knocking it down, eventually they come round to it and they sort of give it. It's a bit like when you lasso a horse or something and it's fighting, isn't it? Eventually it just sort of comes around to the idea, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes it just says, okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and I love that you got six sales and six closes and not 600, because I always tell people, there's one or two that I use all the time. But I can borrow from once in a while, something will come up. It'll be something Grant said or something Zig Ziglar said, or having though five or six that you're ready. You can just speak fluently and congruently, I believe, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think any good salesman nowadays is sort of taking ideas. I mean, I think some of the clauses, the ideas came from Tom Hopkins actually. And, potentially Brian Tracy. Oh, Brian Tracy. I read a lot of Brian Tracy. I think
Brian Tracy, wonderful.
He's one of the greats, undoubtedly. And also, Zig as well. Also, I'm actually interviewing Ben Gay this week, Ben Gay 3.
I love Ben. I went and dug out my old books. I was trying to find his books, and I called my buddy, and I said, did I give you this book? And he's like, yeah, man, 20 years ago, I got it at the house. So I called Ben. I said, how do I get some more, man? And I got some more books from Ben. Those are the greats. And here's the thing. A lot of people, so if you're watching this, guys, grab a hold of this. Brian Tracy, Ben Gay, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar. Never neglect those thinking you've got to have the latest, greatest. There's some great teachers out there today. There really are. But
you've
got to go to the basics.
Old is gold. I'll say that all along. Old is gold.
Old is gold. And here's the thing, John. Some of it I'll listen to and go, I wouldn't feel comfortable using that today. That's okay. Then you just lay it aside and you go back in somewhere else. We touch on feature benefits when I do my presentations, but not a lot. I like to get to the benefit of the benefit, which means what's the emotional attachment they're going to have to that benefit. And I want to anchor emotions. I want to anchor positive emotions and just let that be an emotional ride right to their dream, their goal, or getting away from their personal hell. But still, I still go back and use tag questions. I still go back and do a lot of the things that I learned.
Benjamin Franklin clause.
I haven't used that in a long time, I have to say. Now, that one, that's one I'm like, I probably should. I should be like, hey, grab a piece of paper. Let's write this. But again, for the right person,
it will work.
Right person, it may work.
It's in the toolbox, isn't it? It's always in the toolbox.
That's right. So having that ability, man, but having those closes that you feel comfortable with, as I said, for years, John, I sold, I don't have much insurance. And my close was, is there anything else you need to know before we get started? And I start shaking my head, no. And so many times I watched them and they would go, they'd start shaking their head too if you had great rapport.
Brilliant.
No, yeah. Great. And if there was anything else they need to know, they tell you. Now I'm more of along the lines of, here's our next place. Here's where we go next. And this is what it looks like to work with us. Here's where our next step is. And I kind of shake my head, yes, if we're face-to-face. And the beautiful part of it, man, is it is you will not land it every time. The best salesmen in the world are going to miss it and go, oh, I should have done this. I should have done something else. But there's a world full of prospects too, so.
I still do that every day when I walk away from a door because I'm still doing door-to-door now, but I just do double glazing windows and doors. I've only just gone back into it because I just thought I just need to go back to basics. Sometimes I just thought, right, because there's still so much to learn and I'm still learning every single day and I'm getting better and better at overcoming objections even now. So I'm just fine-tuning all the time.
Yeah. Well, one of the best things that – what I do, I coach some different industries, but I've got some of my students that I'm like, hey, call me middle of the day, call me at night, call me, catch me off guard, and let's role play.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm really in like a bad situation. I'm like, I'm listening to them, but I'll hit them with an objection, and they'll come back with something, and I'm like, great, call me tomorrow, we'll talk about this. And having that role play right then, having those objections. Another thing that's helped me, John, is interviewing people like you, man, just getting different perspectives from different parts of the world even, but interviewing the person who's selling real estate, insurance, you know, e-commerce, whatever. What are they doing coaching? I've sold millions of dollars worth of coaching over the phone, but I'm going to go and ask somebody who sold a life insurance policy over the phone. What did you do? How did you close it? There's always that learning, you know, always what we can learn.
Absolutely. Well, I think, like you say, when you get the fundamentals of selling, they can cross over, can't they? It doesn't matter the product. When you've got a certain set of skills, you can sell a car. You can sell like double glazed windows like I'm doing. You can sell lawnmowers. You can sell pretty much, can't you?
And I think sometimes what people need to do that. I tell people that are just doing phone sales, like, you know, a lot of these high ticket closers, you need to go out and sell furniture. You need to go knock on some doors and sell lawn care services. You need it just to learn. Or if that's your style, you need to get on the phone where there's no body language. You got to learn tonality. You got to use tonality. I can hear body language on the phone now because I've made thousands of phone calls, you know?
Yeah.
But I'd rather do this because here's a key, guys. If you're talking like this, like me and John are, and those who are listening to this on the podcast, you can't see us. Those who are watching this, you can see us. There's things that you can do I can look at body language when I'm talking with someone. Another reason you want to use video, like we're on Zoom here, you want to use video in your sales presentations is I'm looking at John or I'm looking at my webcam or I'm looking at myself. I'm focused here. I'm not focused on my phone. I'm not listening to John's sales pitch while I'm scrolling a book. You got their attention, and you can anchor positive emotions to your product or service linguistically and with body gestures. That's another topic, but I love Zoom. I love the technology we have, you know.
Yeah. So, just to touch on what you just said as well, if you're face to face with somebody in a presentation, mirroring is a fabulous technique.
Absolutely. Mirroring physiology or mirroring their language?
Mirroring both. Yeah, mirroring physiology, moving the way they move, copying, nodding, shaking your head at the same time, just getting in sync with their movement.
Yeah, getting in sync with their movement. Yep.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. And so there's a couple of things of mirroring. Number one, I agree, similar body posture, et cetera. But also one thing, the reason I asked linguistically, you got a cool accent. I can't do your accent. I'm not even going to try. But
I quite like yours as well. Yours is quite a deep south one. Is that right? Deep south. Is that right?
Deep south in North Carolina. Yeah. And it's really funny because I don't try to emulate somebody's accent, but what I can do is talk at the same speed. What I can do is trying to talk at the same volume. Another thing you can do is mimic or label or go, I'm sorry, mirror their last few words they said. And that's actually something that I picked up from Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. Like a while ago, I did it. You said something and I just asked you the same the last three or four words you said, and then you expanded upon it. And that's a great way to get people talking. Because if you've ever had that client you can't get to shut up, that's rare. But usually you can't get them to talk. And if people talk, they'll tell you how to sell them or they'll sell themselves. So one of the things is that the last three or four words they use in a sentence, then just repeat that back in a question.
Yeah. Yes. I think I'm pretty sure I've heard Tom Hopkins touch on that as well. Yeah. Definitely. And Tony Robbins about what did you mention before that? The speed of the way they talk. I've heard Tony say about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm doing a cold call or we have an appointment, I usually try to get them talking as quick as possible so I can hear that and I can kind of mirror that. But also something very important, the more somebody talks and hear their own voice, they're most comfortable with their own voice. So you can take them from a place of anxiety to a place of comfort or neutral, at least, if you can get them talking first, which is...
I'd say another tip I'd say for a beginner is relax with people and try and get humor. Try and get a laugh out of people. Like, because what I tend to do, whether this is on a phone or whether this is on the door, this works really well. If people say, oh, I don't like cold calling, say, I'm not cold, it's quite warm today. I'm only cold when it's minus 10 outside. I'm a pretty lukewarm caller. It's pretty tepid. You know what I mean? I'm quite warm. Get me a cup of tea and I'll feel even warmer. You know what I mean? Just something like that. And it just eases the load because when they open the door, it's a salesman. But if you can add that humor straight away, then you're more relaxed.
So I'll give a tip on this. I'm actually teaching on this. So I had to call on two people yesterday, cold call. Absolutely cold, never spoke to them. And I wanted to meet them for lunch so we can talk business. So I'm going from a cold call to where you meet me for coffee, you meet me for lunch. And they don't know me. I don't know them. Pulled their name off the internet. And they both had this, why are you calling? This kind of hesitancy right off the bat. And here yesterday in the United States was President's Day. So I made a comment and I knew a lot of them would be home. Good time to catch them. So I called their home number. And so I come off with this quick little, joke about President's Day. My daughter said, hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. I know it's President's Day. In fact, my daughter said, why are you going to work, Dad? And I'm like, because I have bills to pay. Why are you out of kindergarten, you little brat? We kind of laugh. And what it was, I said it in a humorous way. We got them laughing and it opened up the door. Here's one of the best ways. I've had people say, Wayne, I'm serious. I'm too serious to use humor. It's costing you then. So I go to YouTube and I go to Dry Bar Comedy. That's the name of the channel because it's clean. There's no vulgarity. I can listen to it with anybody around. But oh my goodness, if you listen, number one, it just makes you laugh. But it almost becomes part of your repertoire. You almost pick it up. If you listen to Tom Hopkins, you'll start sounding like Tom Hopkins. You listen to a comedian, that naturally comes out. And as long as it's clean and it's not going to offend, it really does help sales. So Dry Bar Comedy, guys, spend an hour a day on there just in the background, laughing, cutting up, and it'll help your sales ability. Promise.
Absolutely. Well, laughter is one of the best things you can do to keep positive. Another tip I'd give to anybody that's serious about sales is be positive 99.9% of the time, or as much as you possibly can. Be positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will affect your sales ratios massively.
Yeah. And if you're not positive, get in state. You know, do some state management exercises. Back to Tony Robbins, you know. John, man, I appreciate it. I could talk to you all day. How do people get in touch with you? I mean, obviously, I know you've got your hands in several areas. How do they download your six powerful closes, your samurai closes? I see samurai. I see this warrior with a sword, man. That's I love that.
Six killer samurai closes. That's where we roll. So, yeah, I'll give you a link. When we finish speaking, I also have a Facebook group called International Entrepreneurs and Coaching Community.
Yep.
Or you can just reach out to me on Facebook, John Molyneux. That's MOLYNEUX.
Awesome. And for those listening to this, I'll make sure all of the links to John's group and everything is in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on Podbean or iTunes, just go pick it up on show notes. And if you're on YouTube, it'll be in comments below. So be sure to share this. John, any parting thoughts, any words of wisdom for our people?
Yeah, I mean, I also have a podcast show that we didn't mention that. It's called The Success Breeds Success Show. Oh, we did quickly touch on it because I'm speaking to Ben Gay this week. I'm just publishing a new episode for next Monday called That's with Manny Wolf.
Awesome.
That should be good.
Awesome. And I look forward to being on your show as well. Yeah. Absolutely. If there's any reason, is there any reason, anything you need to know before you get me booked on the show? So, but guys.
No, it slips.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it's literally for anybody that's having success in whatever they're doing. So, yeah, I'd love to have you on very soon.
I'd love to have it, man. I'd love to have it. All right, guys, again, check the show notes. And by the way, check out John. Grab a hold of that PDF. Learn these six samurai closes, killer samurai closes. Love it. if this is your first time following us here, hit the subscribe button, hit the share button. You go over and pick up our book. We have a couple of books. In fact, I'm going to do something a little different today. We've got a new book we just released. And I should have a copy here to show people visually, shouldn't I? But anyway, it's called Side Hustle, How to Double Your Income in the Next 12 Months Without Adding a Lot of Extra Time. We live in a side hustle economy, guys. People are doing different businesses, different ventures. I've got multiple proven systems. Pick one, run with it. The book is absolutely free. Just go to freesidehustlebook.com. Put in your email address, get the book. Check your email or come through email. Also, jump over to our website, howtosellyourcoaching.com, howtosellyourcoaching.com, and you can see all of our podcasts there, updates, and so much more. So, John, hey, man, I appreciate you more than you know. I appreciate you coming on board, and keep on rocking, keep on changing the world on your side of the world, and I'll do it over here on this side.
100%, it's been fantastic. Sales Samurai, keep it real.
That's right. Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.